Good evening, everyone. Tonight we're going to talk about social media a little bit and some principles the scriptures have for us on that topic. But before we start, I had fun hanging out with you guys playing some games in the gym. I have to admit, I forgot my gloves when I came up here, right? It hasn't been cold yet in Detroit. I wasn't thinking that when it goes this cold, you really should bring gloves. And when I don't wear gloves, my knuckles get real dry and my skin gets real rough and I hate it. It's really embarrassing for me. And then of all things, I forgot my gold bond too, so I didn't have my lotion to put on it. And then of all things, we play a game where we have to hold hands. And I was like, I didn't want them to even see it, let alone feel it. So anyway, sorry for whoever had to hold my hand, feel my ashy skin, and all that nasty stuff. But thanks for playing. I had a good time hanging out with you guys. Before we start and talk about social media too, you know, it was kind of funny to me because there was major shade thrown at Tavistock this morning. Which is crazy. And I thought Tavistock, now, I guess it's different. In America, when shade gets thrown, shade goes right back. But I know Canadians are a little bit more passive people. They took the L this morning and said, you know, we'll let that one fly. Patience, great attitude, great Christ-like showing from Tavistock. But Tavistock, just real quick, I was on Twitter before I came over here. I saw some crazy stuff going out. Nolan was apparently shooting off the tweets this afternoon and calling Tavistock out on Twitter, right? We're getting real creative with it there. I said, wow, this is going on. There's some beef out there. And then a few minutes later, I saw this, and I said, wow, this is crazy. He's going in on this one right here. By the way, Nolan, just a heads up, the whole point of school is to not do it forever. So you might want to rethink that hashtag in the description in your profile. Just a heads up.
I see you.
So anyway, and then there was this one, and shots were fired. Shots were fired, blood was drawn. Tavistock, you got to hit back now. You can't just sit back anymore. This is crazy. You took the L this morning, but tonight you got to bounce back, right? You can't just take this anymore. Now, I'm not here to instigate, but if I may suggest proper forms of clapback. One, respond on Twitter. Twitter clapback, start a Twitter beef. Two, rap diss. There is a talent show tonight, I understand, a variety show. And you have still have time. If you want to leave my message, you're excused. If only to write a rap diss to clap back at Sudbury Bible Fellowship. So anyway, I'm not trying to start anything, but I'm just saying there's clearly some beef going on that I don't even know about, and it's getting out of hand. But in all seriousness, I want to think with you guys about social media, right? Social media is a powerful tool. I titled this message, The Power of Your Digital Footprint, right? If you guys are on any digital space, if you use the internet, you have what they call a footprint, right? You usually leave a mark. Even if you don't post anything, you leave your data behind, right? You leave a mark in there. And that mark you leave has impact. It is power. The words you choose to use in a public setting, whether it be in person or online, they have power. And I think it's important for us to consider that. And while the scriptures might not have anything to say about social media directly because they were written 2,000 years before the invention of social media, it doesn't not say anything that relates to it, right? The Bible is a timeless book. God didn't forget any generation of his people when he had this book penned, right? I think there's clear principles in scripture for things Christians should keep in mind when they use social media or any type of digital media. And I think that one of the best places for that and where this message is going to be based is in James chapter 3. So go ahead and turn to James chapter 3. Some of the users who have the biggest impact on social media are big brands, right? There's lots of brands quite a few years ago, they realized that, hey, there's a lot of people on social media. There's a lot of conversation. We need to be there. If we want to sell to these people, right, if we want to market to them, we got to join this conversation that's happening. And still, I mean, they started doing this probably about 10 years ago now, and there's still a lot of brands that really struggle to figure out how to use social media. And that's because it's a tricky space to navigate, right? The rules evolve every day, right? What's okay and not okay to say evolve every day. And I found some great examples of people who had used social media really poorly that I wanted to share with you guys. And I call it should have asked a millennial. This is like my big rule at work, because I'm one of the few millennials at my company, and I work a lot in social media. And sometimes they'll throw out ideas, and I'll just be like, guys, no, shut that one down. That's not a good one, right? I know how people use social media. I can think of what every millennial, every person my age is going, how they're going to respond to this idea, shut it down, right? And I think there's so many tweets I see from brands or posts that they post and that they then get in trouble for. And I'm like, did you not have any millennials in your thought group, in your creative team that told you, hold up, maybe you shouldn't post this? Here's a great one. This is one you clearly have never watched daytime television. And this was Total Beauty, a brand, a beauty brand posted. We had no idea Oprah was tied there. We love it. Who is that? That's Whoopi Goldberg, right? So clearly they've never seen The View, and they've also never watched Oprah, right? 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, if you haven't seen it. Daytime television, okay? Clearly, no one checked this, obviously, right? No one even bothered. I thought that one was kind of funny. The next one, social media-ing badly. This was the TSA, or Travel State Department of the Government. Pretty good at their job, not their best moment right here. This one got a lot. I remember when this one happened. I saw it when it actually happened. I couldn't believe they did this. Not a 10 talking about a beauty standard, right? Then you're not a 10 in other countries. And they're warning you about being lured by people trying to get you to go on a date with them or something like that, because people, during spring break, a lot of people do these things. And they try. There was a hashtag going called Spring Breaking Badly, right? And a lot of people, a lot of kids were talking about stupid things that were happening on spring break. And so the Travel State Department tried to jump in with this one. But obviously, when you start talking about beauty standards and you're the Travel State Department, that doesn't go over super well with your audience. And they got in big trouble for that one. And then this one, this one I couldn't believe actually happened. This is one of the crazier stories that happened, I think it was last year in 2016. This was big talk in my industry. Because, you know, they're trying to develop AI, right? Artificial intelligence. And there's a lot of different brands experimenting with that. And Microsoft developed an AI Twitter bot, right? And what this Twitter bot was supposed to do, it was supposed to speak in the tone of a 19-year-old girl. Have any of you guys heard of Tay, Microsoft's AI bot? You guys know the story of Tay? Okay, but there's a few people who know where I'm going with this. So what happened with Tay was going to talk in the tone of a 19-year-old. And how she tweeted back to people was when she first started, she didn't have a lot of knowledge. But as she talked to people about certain topics, she gained more knowledge. And the next time somebody talked to her about that exact same topic, she could use her previous conversations to develop her response to that topic that she had, you know, the next time someone brought up that topic. Does that make sense, right? So the more she hears about one topic, the better educated she becomes, the more intelligent she becomes. So it starts out great, right? Starts out great. Here she goes. Here's a question, humans. Why is it National Puppy Day every day? I just see Tay. She's really trying. She's excited. She's excited to be talking with people. This is a cute little tweet she throws out there. She's real excited. But here's the problem, right? People can teach her to say certain things, right? This is Twitter. What could go wrong, right? What could possibly go wrong? Well, there was a lot of this going. Oops, a lot of this going on, right? People started to teach her phrases to say really inappropriate things, right? They'd ask her about a topic and tell her an inappropriate response, and then they would tell her derogatory terms about certain people groups or religions and things like that. And then soon, other people came and started asking her about those same topics. She was saying wildly offensive things, right? They had put no filters on her. So all kinds of things she was saying, and Microsoft ended up having to shut the whole thing down and lost millions of dollars on this project because they underestimated one very simple thing, how impactful what you say on social media is, how many people see it, right? How many people take it seriously? How many people have an opinion about that topic? And that's what a lot of these brands fail to recognize. They think, oh, it's just words, right? Oh, every time these brands get in trouble, you know, I've gone to seminars where professionals speak, and this is what they say is the problem, right? They fail to recognize, right, how people feel about these things and just how impactful their words are. And if you're somebody who has millions and millions of people who listen to you, you have a tremendous impact. But even if you're somebody who just knows a lot of people personally, you still have tremendous impact, right? And I think we have to consider that, right? We have to always keep that in mind. The words we say have impact, whether we say them in person or whether we say them on social media. I don't think it changes. And that's what James chapter 3 is about. And real quick here, I had some slides get messed up. I got to jump ahead here for a second. But anyway, let's go ahead and jump into James chapter 3 right here as we think about this topic of social media. My brethren, let not, this is verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. And see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles or can change the whole course of a life and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. All right, I'm going to stop right there. And before we go any further, we'll go through the whole chapter, but I'm going to break it up into parts. So we'll stop there and start thinking about these first few verses. Scripture has a lot to say about your speech, right? Much of it is in association with your personal testimony. Often when Scripture is talking about, gives us instruction for how we should speak and communicate with other people, it's in regards to your testimony, right? Again, we talked already this week, you know, our mission, right, should be to impact other lives, both in the body and the unsaved, for the ultimate glory of God, right? And in order to do that, we need to have our testimonies in order. It's going to really hurt our ministry if our testimonies are not in line with what the Scriptures say they should be, if we're not showing that Christ-likeness. So Christ wants us to be very careful about what we say, because how quickly it can destroy our lives, right? How quickly one thing you say can undo. Maybe you said a lot of good things in your life. You said a lot of good things, but that one thing, and we especially know that in today's world, right? How quickly it can unravel. You know, that one tweet can go viral in minutes. And I think we've seen a lot of celebrities, people who had successful careers, their careers almost destroyed overnight because of something that broke on social media. And as believers, none of us probably have the Twitter presence or the social media presence of a celebrity, but I still think there's other people who look to us, right? Within that maybe 500 or so followers you have, there's people at your school, people in your church, people who look up to you maybe, and what you say will have, and they're listening, right? It could have an impact on them. So we have to be careful. But then at the same time, when used well, words can have a tremendous impact for the Lord. I put up there 1 Samuel 3:19, really tremendous verse there. It says that Samuel, essentially it builds up and says that Samuel served the Lord faithfully, and the Lord did not let a single word from his mouth fall to the ground. In other words, the Lord used every word, because every word that Samuel was using, his desire was to glorify God with it. The Lord used those words, right? None of them were wasted. Every single one of them was used to impact people who heard. And when words are used well, the Lord can use them to impact. And that can be as simple as an encouraging word, right? A kind word, a kind statement. It can be as easy as that, or it could be something deeper than that. But whatever it is, words are still a great thing. It's not like don't talk because you might say the wrong thing, you know? It's about think about your words. Be intentional with your words. Intentional is one of my favorite words. It means don't just throw things around out there. Don't just act randomly and see what happens. Think about what might happen, right? Think carefully about what might happen. I forgot the name, but the gentleman who was speaking up here during the breakout session, right? He talked about how a lot of times our reactions are used to justify something we already did, not to think through what we're about to say, right? And it shouldn't be that way. And it's true, that's the way we often react, right? I got to justify what I said, but it would have been a lot easier if we had thought first about what we said than actually having said it and now having to go back and justify what was said. And then I think there's a really interesting statement in Psalm 19:14, right? I think a lot of us probably know that verse, let the meditations of my heart, or the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, right? And I really think about that. You put those two things together, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In other words, the things that I think about, the things that I meditate on, and then come out of my mouth, I want to say, that's essentially what social media content is, right? I have a thought, I think people would like to see it, let me post it, right? And that's good. That can be a good thing, right? Nothing wrong with that, but it's about what you're thinking about and what you then post. You know, what's the impact it's going to have is what we have to think through. And again, I'm going to talk about two different ways to look at this, right? Social media, just like any other kind of communication, can be used in a tremendously positive way to encourage and build up other people. But it can also be used to destroy, to chip away at both you and somebody else. So I think we have to be careful. And then it goes back again to that idea. Communication goes back to the meditations of the heart, right? You know, what's the verse? Out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. You know, the things you're meditating on, the thoughts you're dwelling on, those things eventually begin to manifest themselves to other people through word, through social media, through action. Be careful where your mind is at. And then be careful what social media puts into the mind, right? That's one of the biggest, pitfalls of using social media is the things we almost unconsciously allow to be put into our mind and find their way into the meditations of our heart. So we look at the book of James, really great book. I love this book. If you have time, go through it. I went through it in one of the classes I teach at my church. We went through it on Sunday mornings in the messages. So in the last year, I've thought a lot about this book. And the theme is really Christian testimony in the modern world. So I think it's really especially relevant for young people. It's good for everybody. But I would encourage you, if you haven't ever studied James, to take a look at it. One of the key phrases in it is that phrase, faith without works is dead. The idea being that what's the point of claiming Christ if your works don't back it up? People will not take you seriously. Your ministry will be greatly hindered if there are no works to back up your faith, and it might as well be dead. Then it also, in James chapter 1, there's a few things that James has to say about the tongue. Verse 26, he says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious but does not bridle his own tongue, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. The things he claims are useless if he claims to be Christ but can't bridle his own tongue. He can't control what he says, right? He says things that upset people. He says things that offend people. He says things that irritate people, and he destroys his testimony. And he's a less effective tool for the gospel than the Lord would like him to be because this person cannot control their tongue. Verse 27 also says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. True religion, in other words, true religion is not just based in word, right? It's not just about the things you say. It's about actually going out and doing things, right? He says, pure and undefiled religion, right? Actually doing the things you say you believe, right? What does that actually look like? It's going out and doing those things. And then in 2:12, James 2:12, he says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. You know, one day we're going to have to, give an account for the things that we do. One of the things we're going to have to give account for is the interactions we had with other people. If we tore them down, if we discouraged them, if we used our words to hurt them, hurt their testimony, hurt their reputation. The way we use our words to mislead people, to deceive them. Distract them from the scriptures, to allow Satan to take our words and manipulate somebody else's heart based on something we said. We have to give account for that. So James has a lot of great stuff to say, I think, when it comes to communication, the social media being one of the methods of communication widely used in our society today. So James chapter 3, and we already read the first couple of verses there, 1 through 2 have some interesting things to say about social media. First thing it says is do not be too quick, right, to be teaching and correcting. Now, this verse, probably its primary context is referring to people who want to be always teaching in the church. You know, and he's not saying don't do that. He's also not saying, okay, you can do it, but it's only appropriate to do it every once in a while. He's saying think before you become a teacher or correct somebody. Because understand that if you're going to take that role upon yourself, you're going to assume that role, you're going to have to give an answer for that. Why? Because as he said in James chapter 2, we have to give an answer to God for that someday. So think carefully before you teach. Make sure you have the right ideas, right? Make sure you've thought about what you're going to say. Make sure you've checked what you're going to say against Scripture. I think this can be applied to social media, right? Because one of my biggest pet peeves, right, is when you see these people on social media who are always correcting, right? Always trying to you know who I'm talking about too. They're always trying to teach, right, on these posts and put their opinions in there. Often they're quick. Often they're with a link to fake news, right? Something that they found that backs up their bias. No one is perfect, right? You're not always going to be right. That's in verse 2, right? We all stumble, right? So 1 and 2 together, you have to read them together. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. We're going to stumble in word, right? We're not always going to be right. Sometimes we will enter into an argument only to find out we were wrong. And that's a really hard pill to swallow, especially when it's recorded on a screen, screenshotted, shared to other people, right? It's not going away. So be careful before you do these, right? Before you enter into these things. Social media is a good place, right? You can find opportunities for proper correcting and teaching. Maybe you see something that seems off base. You just want to jump in and drop the facts, right? There's place for that. But it's not saying don't do that. It's saying be careful. Think carefully before engaging. And I would say this for sure, guys. I don't know exactly how all of you use social media. I know a lot of believers who think social media is a great place to have open discussion with atheists or people whose belief system differs from the Christian belief system. They think they have found it's a great place to go, enter in these discussions, and then hopefully bring in the gospel and be able to share the gospel with them. I think there's potential there. But there is a real pitfall there where you can get sucked in to just arguing and debating. Or you can come in and bring in incorrect facts, right? Incorrect things, and really damage the testimony, right? And even warp that person's opinion more of what they already assume about Christians. We have to be very careful, I think, when entering into that space, because it can be a real pitfall. And you do not want to discredit yourself with hasty teaching and correction. Again, in James chapter 2, 12 and 3, 1, there is a stricter judgment for teachers, and we have to give an answer to the Lord for the things that we say. I think social media is included in that. We have to be very careful on what we say. Don't discredit yourself, right? Here's a quote for you. What do you see about this quote? Is it true? Is it true? Why is it not true? Can you believe everything you read on the internet? Can you? No, you can't, right? So it is true, right? No, what's not true about it? That's right. Very correct. Correct answer, right? So sometimes something can seem true, but you got to look carefully at it, right? You got to analyze it because there might be something else wrong with it, right? Maybe the source is not good. Maybe a statement agrees with your line of belief, but you got to check the source, right? This is a big rule for us in marketing. We have to be so careful what sources we post, what sources we share, because there's really probably by now more not credible sources than credible sources in social media. You have to be careful for these things. Check your source. Think about these things. Something, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but social media, the way Facebook works now and Twitter works, is the content you see in your filter is based on an algorithm. Who knows about the Facebook and Twitter algorithm? You've heard of this? Does anybody know how it works? How does it work? That's right. The more you like something, or the more that people you follow like something, it shows you more of that content. It begins to base all of your content on what it knows you like and what you think. And pretty soon, if you've used social media for as long as someone like me, or even not that, you don't even use it that long anymore, soon your feed is only filled with things that cater to your pre-existing opinions, right? So you have people learning in a vacuum over here, and people learning in a vacuum over here, engaging in what healthy dialogue, and the problem is all their sources are contrary, right? They're only hearing the things they want to hear. That's not a great place for a person to be. I think it's good for believers to understand truth, right, in the scriptures, but be able to get a healthy understanding of what other people out there think, what other people believe. So you can have proper dialogues. You can know what to defend against, right? What to guard yourself against. But I don't think it's good to be learning in that vacuum. That's what social media sets us up for. So be careful when it comes to correcting and teaching, right? You're not always going to be right. And if you're so adamant and stubborn, as many people tend to become on social media, you can really discredit your testimony. And if the person knows you personally, I see things, right? I don't even engage in some of these arguments I see. But I see the comments, I see the postings, right? And I begin to form opinions about these people, and I say, I can't believe they're talking like this on social media, right? The things they're saying, that's not correct. I can't believe, I thought this person wasn't like this. But it can really affect a person's testimony when they're improperly teaching and correcting on social media. Let's look at James chapter 3. Back to James chapter 3. Something else there I forgot to say about communication. About communication. Let's go back to the tongue for a second. I want to think about the tongue before we move into this real quick. It has some really interesting things to say about the tongue. And again, I think the tongue can mean communication. I really think it's a fair way to translate that. Any communication we have. The tongue is difficult to control. Scripture brings that out. Maybe you've probably heard some messages on James chapter 3 and heard some things about the tongue, but there's some interesting statements, right? It's kind of he almost uses sarcasm here to teach, right? He says, if anybody is perfect, right? If anybody never stumbles in word, they're a perfect person, able to bridle the whole body, right? Doesn't really apply to anybody. It's kind of a sarcastic statement there. And he says, look at us, right? We put bits in, we can control a horse, right? By putting a huge horse, a majestic, strong creature. We can control that creature by putting a bit in its mouth. We can steer ships across the ocean, huge ships with just a little rudder, right? We can control them. The tongue is a great thing, right? But it can start a little spark can start a forest fire, right? Tweeting that somebody parks over the lines can start a forest fire, right? Little things like that, things we don't even think about, things that seem innocuous, right, that can cause a big problem. And again, that's so relevant to social media, right? Little things that get put out there, how inflammatory they can really be. I like verse 6. I've really been thinking about 6 and, yeah, verse 6 really kind of strikes me. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature or the course of a life if you read in the NIV. That's an incredible statement. I just want to think about that for a second, right? The tongue is so set among the members it can defile the whole body. In other words, that it is one of the primary things that people associate with who you are, is what you say. What you say is the thing people associate most with who you are. That's a true statement, right? No one in the world would disagree with that. A person is judged. Their character is judged by what they do or don't say, right? That's exactly what James is telling us right here. The tongue is so set among your members, among your body, among who you are, that it can defile the whole body if not used properly. And then it says, and it can set on fire the course of a life. It can destroy you, right? Your life could be going in this wonderful direction, and all of a sudden, something you say sets it off course, changes your entire life, changes the course, right? We see this in politicians, right? We see this in famous people and celebrities. We see it in average people who get caught up in these things. That's how powerful your words are, right? That's how serious they are. I don't like the attitude of, oh, I was just joking, right? I always see this now. When celebrities or people get caught, when they get caught saying something inappropriate, they always make excuses. They try to justify the actions, right? First of all, my thing is, if you think it might cause something, if you think it's a joke but it could be taken wrong, maybe just try to avoid it, right? Second of all, if you are wrong, own it, right? Ask forgiveness, right? But that's the funny thing. There is no forgiveness in the world we live in, right? If you get caught, you're guilty forever. You can't come back from that. That's the mentality they have, which is why scriptures teach forgiveness, right? People can bounce back. God can change lives. He can change heart. But that's not the mindset of the world, which is why everyone tries to justify, because they know if they admit they were wrong, there's no forgiveness waiting for them. One of the tremendous blessings of being a believer and being a part of the family of God is knowing there is forgiveness, and we can have the courage to confess and ask for forgiveness and admit to our mistakes. But that's how powerful the tongue is, right? Verse 7, again, kind of sarcastic. It's kind of just an incredible statement, right? Every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. We've been able to accomplish and control incredible things, right? We've been able to put giant metal tubes in the sky, right? And fly them across the sky, take control of scientific forces and use them to our advantage, but we still haven't figured out how to control the tongue, right? We still haven't figured that part out. Verse 8, no man can tame the tongue, right? If you think he starts off in verse 2 saying, if you think you can, oh yes, you must be a perfect man. But let me show you all the comparisons, right? There's no way you can control the tongue. And he comes to verse 8. Listen, if I haven't proven it to you by now, listen to me. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It can destroy a life. And again, tying that back into social media, I think you all see the connection there. The communication that we have, the things that we post, the things that we say can really be destructive. But then we come to James 3, verse 9 and 10. And we see, I think, some really cool things and also some warnings for social media. Verse 9, it says, with it, the tongue, or with our communication, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send, reading verse 11 too, and we'll read verse 12. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. So here's what he's saying, right? With the tongue, we can bless our God, right? We can bless our God and Father. I think that social media can be used to praise and uplift. It's a good tool for that. You know, if someone wants to, you know, if you want to share things glorifying your Savior, it's a great tool for that. If you want to share things encouraging and uplifting other people, it's a great tool for that. But then there's something else he says, right? We do this as man. We bless God with it, but then we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, right? How often, you probably see this, right? People who will post maybe these, you know, seemingly wonderful spiritual things. Maybe it's sincerely spiritual, but then you see them criticizing, right? Complaining, right? Putting out negative things about other people or about situations and their life, right? And James even says, how can you praise God but criticize people if you can stop and consider that people have been created in the image of God. Where's David? David, what's that? No, sorry. I guess you're David too. That David, yeah. What's that Jackie Perry Hill quote you put in there about the image of God in your little book? Can you share it real quick?
Sure.
It just came back to me. I think it's a great phrase to consider as we think about this verse real quick. If David has it there.
Jackie who? Sorry?
It's on your first, Jackie Perry Hill, I think is her name. It's on your first, yeah. You got it there?
Yeah, I got it.
Thank you. Go ahead and read it out for us, if you would. Yeah, I like that phrase. My friend shared that with me a while ago, and then David put it in something he's working on, and it's really been something I think that's good for us to think about. It came back to my mind last night when he shared it with me. Something amazing happens in our hearts, right, when we stop and remember that people, the people we interact, every person we interact with, no matter how frustrating they may be, no matter how rude or mean they may be to us, that person is made in the image of God. And God sees them as made in his image and wants to restore them. Right? He wants to restore them to how he originally intended them to be when he created mankind. He wants that redemption process to take place, right? And when we come in criticizing, right, using social media to say rude and unkind things, right, to complain about other people, to be negative about those things, we can chip away at those opportunities, right? We might destroy those opportunities forever. And even more so, again, what kind of testimony is it if we're using social media to praise and uplift, but then with the same social media account, criticize and tear down and complain, right? It doesn't make sense. That's what James says. It doesn't make sense. Out of the mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, right? A spring does not send forth both fresh water and bad water. It's either a freshwater spring or a bad water spring, a tainted water spring, whatever you want to call it, right? A fig tree doesn't bear olives or a grapevine bear figs, right? A fig tree bears figs, right? An olive tree bears olives. A grapevine bears what?
Olives.
No, grapes. Grapevines bear grapes, right? Only one kind of fruit, only one kind of product can come from a source, right? And how damaging it is to the testimony when you have two different things coming out, right? Who is this person, right? Who is this tree? What kind of fruit are they actually bearing? Is it the positive, uplifting kind of fruit, right? Like a mango or a watermelon, my personal favorite. Or is it like an avocado, one of my least favorites, right? Not delicious, right? What kind of fruit is this tree bearing? Social media, right? It's a space. It is ideal for uplifting interactions, right? But you do not want to hinder opportunities to uplift with frequent negativity, right? If you're someone, complaining is very easy, is a very easy thing to do. And complaining is an easy thing to do because it's actually easier than going and figuring out a solution, right? If I can complain and excuse myself from this situation or find an excuse that, you know, excuses my behavior in this situation, that's easier than actually finding a solution. And that's why people trend towards negativity on social media, right? They want to point out the problems. Society has this issue. My church has this issue. I see this problem in my school, but they never offer solutions. Why? Because that's too hard, right? That's too hard. My boss, the guy who owns my company, he has a rule. He's got an open door policy, which means you can come to him with any, if you see a problem, you can come to him with any of that, but you cannot come to him with a problem unless you first thought through a solution, right? You have to come to him with a problem and a solution. But criticism is so easy. Negativity is so easy to bring out. But James says it doesn't make sense, right? If these two things come from the same source, it's not going to make sense. It's going to hinder and affect social media, our reputation. And social media, really, as good as it is and as much potential as it has to uplift and encourage people, it really has the opportunity to contradict our mission. And so let's go back to the idea of being intentional with our words, right? I think that's kind of the key to thinking through this right here. It's as simple as think before you post, right? Think about it carefully. Sometimes the things we do too that tear down, maybe we don't even mean to do them in such a way. Maybe it's a simple picture, right? But you don't realize the impact it has on somebody who might have seen that. It may make them feel left out, right? You may be constantly promoting how wonderful your life is. I always caution, I try my best to, when I post things, to not to try to make it sound like I have the best life in the world, right? And that's kind of the thing we get from social media. We look at social media, this is very common, right? It's actually a problem. There are psychiatrists who deal with this now. It's, we call it FOMO. Anybody know what FOMO is? What FOMO stands for? What does FOMO stand for? Fear of missing out. FOMO. It's becoming a condition. I'm not sure it's documented yet, but I know it's a condition. They're disgusting. It's people who see things on social media and think they're missing out. Why didn't these people want to hang out with me? Why didn't I get invited to this thing, right? Why did I get left out? And they develop this sense of anxiety whenever they see something. Why isn't my life like that? Maybe it's not even somebody they know. Why don't I have those things, right? Going back to what we talked about last night, we see these things. If I had those things, right, the lust of the eyes, if I had these things that I see, they would make me happier. They might even make me a better person, right? They might even make me a better person. There's a saying in marketing, people don't buy products, they buy better versions of themselves, right? The products that make them look like a better human being. The products that make them feel like a better human being. This is a real problem. I'm going to talk about that more in just a second here. But I think you have to be careful, right? Be intentional in your communication. Think about the different reactions that people may have in response to what you are sharing. Because I think what's really on the line is your testimony, which ultimately means what's really on the line is the reputation, the impact you can have for Jesus Christ, right? Be very careful with that when you share and think about what you're posting. Because again, right, it doesn't make sense if there's praise coming from one source, but then also negativity from the same exact source. And then we move into verses 3:13 through 16. I love these verses. When I first read them and put them into the context of social media, they kind of blew me away. Because I think they get right at the heart of all the bad ways that people use social media, right? All the ways that it can negatively impact the life. Let's look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Right, we'll stop right there for a second. That goes right back, I think, to what I was saying about being intentional with your communication, right? If someone is wise, if someone does have some amount of control over his tongue, and is somebody who's respected as having good communication, edifying communication, then let him show that in the conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The things that he does, right, both in action, the works that represent his faith, and the communication he gives that impacts his faith, do them in the meekness of wisdom. Don't be boastful. Don't be boastful on social media, right? Don't always be trying to promote your life. Look at how wonderful it is. Look at how much fun I'm having, right? And trying to make people, I think some people, maybe it's not intentional, but sometimes I think it might be that they're trying to make people jealous of their life because that makes them feel better about their life because they're probably jealous of somebody else's life. But do it in the meekness of wisdom, right? Be humble, right? And again, I'm not saying social media is a bad thing, right? I use pretty much every social media platform, and I enjoy them all. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, I like Snapchat. I like all of them, right? I think they're great. And again, they're tools that can be used well. They're great for communication, staying in touch with people, seeing what's going on in other people's lives. But I do think that the pitfalls are there, and they're very real, and we have to watch out for them. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So I already said be humble in how you present your life on social media, right? Don't try to make people jealous of the things that you have. I'm not saying you can't post the nice things that you have. Just think about the way you communicate them, right? Again, be intentional in how you communicate these things. Because ultimately, where's the root of boasting, right? The root of boasting is identified there in verse 14, right? I lost my place. if you have bitter envy, it's bitter envy and self-seeking, right? Envy and selfishness, right? Self-seeking, seeking out the things that make me feel better, right? The things that make me look like a better person. This is where boasting ultimately lies, right? But I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting to think about that, right? Where does that envy, right? It says that boasting is rooted in envy. That means that someone who boasts is jealous of somebody else, right? There's a jealousy. They have resentment towards somebody else. I think that's a really interesting statement we have there. Boastful people tend to have some sort of envy. They see other people. Other people have things that they want. In their minds, the things other people have make me unhappy, right? So I might feel a little bit better if I can make people a little bit unhappy about what I have, right? If but I can make them jealous of the things that I have. That will make me feel a little bit better. And then you're in that vicious cycle, right? Because then it just goes on from there, because now somebody else is envious and they become boastful. So again, it's a watch out, right? Don't be boastful about the things that you have. Be careful about being that kind of person. Again, appropriate positivity, gratitude, enthusiasm, and passion should be evident. Nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong about it. Some of you in here might be fitness enthusiasts, right? Fitness is one of the top things that could go either way, right? It could be actually passionate and encouraging and helpful to other people, or it can just 100% go in the direction of boasting, right? 100%. You all know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You can see that. Fitness goes both ways on social media. I think it's a great example. I'm not saying don't post about it. I have some friends from college who are now fitness bloggers, and some of them do a wonderful job. I really enjoy what they put out there. I try to do it. I try to learn from it a little bit and have somewhat of a healthy lifestyle in my life. But I see other ones, right, that just take it 100% towards boasting, and it's almost kind of ridiculous. But it's okay, right? It's okay to post these things, but you have to be intentional in that communication. Think about what it is that you're actually communicating. And then this last one right here, never, this is a big one, never, never compare your life to the lives you see on social media, right? How many of you follow bloggers, personalities, people you don't actually know, but you get a lot of inspiration from them? How many of you follow those people? Okay. No, don't be ashamed. If you do, you don't have to, you know, don't do that. Put them up there, right? Okay. If you do, that's fine. I think there's a lot of cool bloggers out there. There's a lot of good inspiration, right? Again, being in marketing, I always have to seek sources of inspiration to give me new ideas and keep my creativity flowing. There's a lot of good sources out there for that. But you should never, never compare what's going on in your life to the life of that person, right? Because you don't see everything, right? You know, it's a curated feed. Right? It's filtered in a sense. They only put up there what they want their followers to see. They don't put up things they don't want you to see, right? And when you begin to compare yourself to the photos you see in that timeline, right? The things, the text you see, the stories you see them posting, the videos they put up there, and you begin to think, why don't I have those things in my life, right? If I could be doing those things that they're doing, if I could have a job that let me do those kinds of things, right? If I could have those kind of opportunities, if I could have that group of friends, right? If I could have that winning personality, right, I'd be a happier person. I'd be a better person, right? And it's so easy to begin to think that way. Again, why, you know, there are some psychologists treating people who deal with FOMO. I don't have these things, right? I'm not as happy as these people because I don't have the things that give them their happiness. Very dangerous thing to do. And then ultimately, going back to these verses, look right here. If you are a boastful person, right, we already established, if you're a boastful person, you are a jealous person. Jealous of somebody else, and therefore you boast to try to make yourself look better and make other people envious of you. And then verse 14 says, so if you are a boastful person and you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. He says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. I think that's an interesting thought too. Boastfulness, right? It's earthly. It's earthly in the sense that it says, look at all these wonderful possessions I have. And it promotes the possession, right? As a believer, we're not here to promote the possession, right? We're here, if anything, to promote the person who blesses us with those possessions, right? That's why I hate hashtag blessed. Hashtag blessed, you probably have all seen that by now, right? It's not at all what blessings are, right? Blessings can appear in many different forms. They don't appear in the form of a Maserati, right? Or a big house or something like that. It doesn't always appear in that form. It could be as simple as the screaming child that God gave you, right? It could be as simple as that. It could be the education that you despise right now, but one day you will have and it will benefit you in life. A blessing could be as simple as that. But we're led to believe by the personalities we see online that blessings come in the form of shiny new cars or beautiful women or beautiful men, great abs, things like that, right? Those are blessings. Hashtag blessed. Look at these wonderful things in my life. My life is hashtag blessed, right? It's a complete lie. It's a complete misleading. It's a promotion of the incorrect things, the things that don't really matter in this life. And that's in the way that boasting is earthly. Boasting is also sensual, right? It's a very sensual thing, leading people to want them to have a desire for you as a person, right? And that could be in the sexual sense. It could also just be in the sense of wanting to know you, wanting to be a friend with you, right? Trying to make people think that you're this wonderful person and make them want to have a relationship with you. And again, that's promotion on self, right? That's promotion of self. Look at this wonderful person that I am. Don't you want to be with me? Don't you want to spend all your time with me, right? Look at who I am. It's sensual in that sense because, again, it puts the emphasis on self, right? Be like me, want to be with me, right? It's sensual in that nature. And then it's also demonic. Why? Because both of those things, right, they put the emphasis on self. That's the world system, right? Pursue self. Do everything that makes self feel better and look better, right? But God's system is on God, right? Do the things that praise, promote, and glorify your Savior. And it's demonic. These things are demonic because they point us towards self. They point us away from God. They point us away from Him. And so boasting, right? Things on social media that promote you and your lifestyle, the better you, the better version of you. It's demonic, ultimately. It distracts you from the things that truly matter, distracts you from the things of the Lord. And then this really incredible statement right here in verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And now we get down to the root, right? We get down to the very last thing there. You have boasting. A boastful person is an envious and jealous and selfish person, right? And then ultimately at their root, there's confusion, or I translate that into insecurity. This is an insecure person. They don't know who they are. They don't know what their identity is, right? They're jealous of somebody else's identity, and they're trying to make people jealous of their identity, right? By the way, I'm not saying that every blogger out there is this kind of person, right? Again, some of them use it well, right? They use it for these things: positivity, gratitude, enthusiasm, and passion for their craft, right? And that's wonderful. It can be used that way. I'm talking about people who don't do that. I'm talking about the people here in James who use their communication to make other people envious of them, to boast about who they are. The very root of that, right? We follow that path, that trickle down into their nature of who they really are. And James says they're insecure people. They're people who don't understand who they really are. Why? Because they're seeking and pursuing self, right? And we established in one of my earlier messages, the only place you truly find happiness and security and satisfaction is in pursuing the things of the Lord. That's what you were designed for. If you believe, you might say, Al, I don't really get that. It's not working out for me. I'm doing these things. I can understand that to an extent, but I'm just telling you this. Think of it this way, right? If you really believe that God created you, if you really believe that, then you have to think He designed you for a purpose. If you look at, I said this last night or this morning, I think, if you look at His Son, right, the perfect human being, right, His Son's mission was to promote, put others first, and glorify the Father. And so that's why, again, that's why I believe that's where you find ultimate happiness. And that's why people who seek to promote and pursue self are insecure. And they use their communication for boastfulness. They're insecure people, and they'll always be that way until they realize what they really should be pursuing, and that's the things of the Lord. So we have to watch out for these pitfalls, right? Again, I think social media is good. And I want to summarize with just a few things right here that James 3, verse 18 brings out for us. Well, 17 and 18. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You might be feeling, Alan, you just dumped all over social media, said a lot of really negative things. That's because I was following the progression of James chapter 3 when it comes to communication, right? He moves through all the pitfalls, all the warnings. Watch out for these things in communication. He establishes, right? That's kind of his outline here if you break it down. Watch out, the tongue is dangerous. Here's the things I want you to watch out for. And then in 17 and 18, he gets to the good stuff, if you will. And that's how to use your communication. And we're going to close with these thoughts, all right? Our words should be designed and intentionally used to promote an atmosphere of peace. Nolan, don't tweet those things, man. You're not promoting the atmosphere of peace, right? We need an atmosphere of peace, right? The people at Tavistock, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to see them that way, created in the image of God, amen. Right? All right, Team Tavistock right here. Confession. I wrote those, guys, in case you didn't figure that out. I wrote those. I made them up. I can't lie to you anymore. It's just not good. I convicted up here. But anyway, in all seriousness, no, I thought they played in, right? You know, again, you got to pursue that atmosphere of peace, especially among each other, right? I talked last night that it's kind of boggling in my mind that I see well-known speakers and believers who have large social media followings using that to get into debates and arguments with other believers, right? I do not think that's a good look for the church. And our words, again, because our words should be used to promote an atmosphere of peace. Now, that goes two ways. It doesn't mean you always say, you do. You use it, you say nice things and encouraging, uplifting things to help promote that atmosphere of peace. But sometimes, to maintain the atmosphere of peace, you have to say hard things, right? You have to bring the truth, and that can be really hard. But if you just ignore those things and let them go unanswered, right, it can get out of control. Now, because that's a difficult situation, Scripture has given us proper procedures for how to do that. My opinion, one of those procedures is not subtweeting the person you're upset with, the person you caught a beef with, right? That's not how you do it. There's a process for that. And so your communication should promote an atmosphere of peace. And I put that up there because I want you to consider, is social media always the right channel of communication, right? How many of you think, scale of 1 to 10, how great is texting of a communication tool for a breakup? Not great. Not ideal, right? None of you really want to catch a breakup text, right? You don't really, that's not the, right? Not every communication tool is not right for every form of communication, right? It's not right. It's not the right tool. So I put that up there. Think about it. Your communication should promote an atmosphere of peace. Think about in those situations how your words should be used to uplift, but also, is this the right situation to be using social media and digital communication? Do not promote arguments, promote beneficial conversation, right? Here's what that communication looks like back in verse 17, right? It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. I like that phrase, willing to yield, right? This is the opposite of being stubborn, right? Somebody who's stubborn, never willing to yield. All right, maybe you've got me, but I'm still kind of right over here. I'm still kind of right with this one. It's still kind of okay to not put shopping carts back because there's people getting paid to clean them up, right? Still kind of okay. No, I'm teasing. right? Willing to yield. Admit, I was wrong, right? I was wrong. That's what good communication does. Someone's willing to admit that, willing to yield and not always stubborn. Don't provoke these arguments. Don't go in there and be the instigator, right? If you see a problem going on, try where you can to promote that atmosphere of peace, that being our overarching goal in communication, whether with the body or with the unbelievers. Promote that atmosphere of peace. Do not complain and criticize. Praise and promote what deserves to be praised and promoted. You can complain, right? If maybe your sports team isn't doing well, you can complain about that, right? There's certain things that I think, there is a healthy form of that. But don't always be complaining, right? Don't be negative about the situations God has put you in, whether it be school or work or home or whatever those things might be, right? Don't be negative about those environments. Rather, focus on praising and promoting. Maybe things aren't going well for you. Maybe you're not in a place to say, oh, school is great. Work is wonderful, right? But you can just say nothing at all. And then when it is wonderful, right, when things are going well, praise and promote them. Thank the Lord for that. You might be able to encourage other people by sharing how things are going for you in your life. Again, you have to do that properly, right? But there's a right way to do that. So praise and promote the things that deserve to be praised and promoted. Do not try to make others envious of you, right? Share your joy. Do it from the perspective of, I'm joyful for this thing that I've been given. I'm joyful for this thing that I have, Don't use it. Don't use those things that you have to promote yourself and to make other people envious of the things that you have. Words are powerful, right? Verse 18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace, right? Words can help fruit to grow, right? It can help the body to grow. That's what they should be used for, right? The mission of spiritual gifts, the mission of the church, as laid out in Ephesians 4, which is a great passage, there's two E words in there that I always keep in mind. And the mission given to us there is to equip and edify. The things that we do, the words that we say, the communications that we have with people, it should be to equip believers to equip believers in the church to go out and share the message of Christ, right? And then to edify them so they can be built up and continue that process of growing people for the work of the Lord. And that's what our communication should be used for. So I hope you guys saw in James 3 the same those principles of communication there. I hope that helps you kind of understand. I think we have to be really careful, right? We really do. I think social media is great. It's one of the cooler tools that have come along in our lifetime. We're really kind of the first generation to master it and use it in a big, impactful way. We are heavily impacted by it. And so I think it's important we understand how we should use it and what the things that we should watch out for from other people who use it. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this instruction, Lord. We thank you for the timelessness of your word, Lord, and how all these principles, Lord, still apply to us generation through generation. We thank you for that thoroughness, Lord, that completeness of your word. Because, Lord, it just illustrates how much you cared about each one of us. You didn't leave us on our own for anything, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you help us to be people who seek to promote an atmosphere of peace. Lord, help us to be joyful people. Help us to be people who care so much about others that we're intentional with how we communicate with them, Lord. And we care about how the things we might say to them are going to impact them, Lord. So I just pray for the rest of this evening. Help our fellowship to be glorifying to you and just give us all a good time and keep us safe. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.